The leader of an Alaska militia convicted of conspiring to murder federal officials is scheduled to be sentenced today. Schaefer Cox was convicted in June of 9 federal charges, including conspiracy to kill federal law enforcement officers and possession of illegal weapons. Fairbanks attorney Nelson Traverso represented Cox at trial, but Traverso has since withdrawn because Cox was dissatisfied with his representation. Seattle attorney Peter Camriel now represents Cox. Another former Alaska Peacekeepers militia member, Lonnie Vernon, received nearly 26 years in prison when he was sentenced yesterday on conspiracy to murder federal officials and weapons charges. Karen Vernon received 12 years in prison. The weekend earthquake that shook southeast Alaska is likely responsible for some sewer and water line breaks throughout Juneau. CBJ Public Works Director Kirk Duncan says the first call came in Saturday from a homeowner about a sewer line break under his house. And Duncan says another break in a wastewater line at the intersection of Mendenhall, Back Loop, and Glacier Spur Roads was found with a robotic camera.
And it ran down the line and it came to a place where it wasn't a total collapse, but it was might as well have been. There was a major restriction.
A contractor dug up the pipe and the broken sewer line was replaced by yesterday afternoon. Duncan says some water valves also broke on Gale Avenue in the Mendenhall Valley and in Douglas. The 7.5 magnitude earthquake shook the capital city about 2 minutes before midnight on Friday. The epicenter was about 200 miles south of Juneau. In Sitka, the tsunami siren blew about 15 minutes later.
Evacuate to high ground immediately. A possible tsunami is threatening the Sitka area.
That recording comes from a video Jared Glennon shot from his house as warnings were broadcast throughout the Sitka area. Glennon did not evacuate. His house is on high ground. That friends ended up coming to him instead. But for many residents of the southeast Alaska community, the siren's message was clear. Get out of your house and move to higher ground. And it caught many of them unprepared. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more on the story.
After the all clear had sounded and Sitkins returned home from higher ground, resident John Straley, an author and the former Alaska writer laureate, took his words to Facebook.
Saturday, 2:45 a.m. When we evacuated at midnight, we took our dog, her dog food, of course. I grabbed my computer with my newest novel and revisions on it, but then I grabbed my mandolin, the old Martin guitar, a box of Wheat Thins, and 3 bottles of champagne. I had no time to think, but what did you grab?
And within minutes, his friends, also awake, also rattled, also fresh home from the evacuation centers or the hillside homes of friends... began to comment... Guitars, cameras, guns, ammo, food, pets, important documents, photos. One person said she brought her knitting bag in case it was going to be a long night. So on Monday morning, we posed Straley's question to people downtown Sitka. What did you grab in the evacuation?
I grabbed clothes for my kids and my daughter's pink bunny and both our computers and left my cell phone charger behind.
So did I, says someone nearby.
And my phone was almost dead. And I couldn't call anybody.
Do either of you have emergency preparedness kits?
Mine's in storage.
She plans on fishing it out now. Here's another.
And I actually slept through the earthquake, but when it was time to evacuate, everyone came to my house. So I woke up to half the town being right outside my house.
If you had to evacuate, what would you take with you? Do you have a kit?
I do not have a kit with me. That would probably be a good idea. But I would probably take a dog and... I'm not quite sure. I'm not ready for a tsunami.
Make no mistake about it. On the macro level, the evacuation of Sitka's low-lying areas appeared to be pretty orderly. There were some traffic jams and other things, but by and large, people were calm and bided their time with friends or at the 2 school buildings opened as temporary shelters. But on the individual level, a lot of people said they felt personally unprepared. And maybe that's good.
That are more prepared for a disaster are oftentimes the people that have already experienced something where they were unprepared.
Kelly McGuirk is Disaster Services Director for the Red Cross of Alaska. She says for many in the state, it's less about whether they have the supplies and more about whether they can get at them easily.
As people that live in Alaska, a lot of us enjoy doing outdoor activities and have all the gear that we recommend people to put in their kit. The problem being that it's not all in one location. It's kind of scattered around the house or in the shed or garage.
So the Red Cross and other disaster prep experts urge people to put kits together. A kit should include water, non-perishable foods, flashlights, battery-powered radios, extra batteries for that matter, a first aid kit, phone chargers, personal documents, on and on and on. And there are special items you should consider based on your family's needs.
So if there's somebody in the family that has a specific prescription or medication that they need, make sure that you include that in the kit.
And if you're evacuating with pets, remember pet food. So back to John Straley. Now remember what he took with him.
We took our dog, her dog food, of course. I grabbed my computer with my newest novel and revisions on it, but then I grabbed my mandolin, the old Martin guitar, a box of Wheat Thins, and three bottles of champagne.
The dog food and the Wheat Thins would probably pass muster with the Red Cross, but Straley laughs at the rest of it.
I mean, I was very impressed with the preparedness of our whole community. I was less than impressed with my own preparedness. Although the champagne came in handy, I thought.
But in all seriousness, Friday's earthquake might be a bullet dodged, and Saturday morning's evacuation, a good lesson.
Somebody said that we got all the benefits of an emergency without any of the real sorrow of having it come true. I think that was, you know, we had to actually take it seriously and go through it, and a real drill, if you will. But it was quite a night. Everybody talking about it. Didn't get a lot of sleep that night.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
What's in your kit? Well, you can check it against the recommended list of supplies from the Red Cross. Go to KCAW's website at kcaw.org. Alaska's 28th legislature meets in Juneau, January 15th, and the first round of pre-filed bills has been released. Republican Representatives Mike Hawker of Anchorage and Mike Chenault of Nikiski are sponsoring a bill to establish an in-state natural gas pipeline fund. The bill would also exempt a gas line development project from property taxes. It also exempts information provided to or by the Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation from public record inspection. Fairbanks Representatives David Guttenberg and Scott Kawasaki are among a group of sponsors hoping to reduce Alaska student loans by 2.5% annually if students maintain their state residency. North Pole Republican Representative Tammy Wilson has pre-filed a bill to create a low-interest loan program for homeowners who improve or replace their home heating systems. Anchorage Republican Representative Mia Costello, for example, has proposed a measure that would require school districts to have a cyberbullying policy in place. Anchorage Democratic Representative Max Gruenberg has pre-filed a bill that addresses issues raised under former Governor Sarah Palin's tenure. If approved, the bill would only allow certain public officials to be reimbursed for legal fees and defending against ethics complaints if they were exonerated.